It's overwhelming, isn't it? You can't escape it because it is all around us. As you drive through Denver, it is slapping us in the face. As we watch or read the news, the vastness of human need and suffering in the world is confronting us at every turn. Whether it is the endless parade of immigrants and refugees fleeing violence and oppression in their countries, or the pain and the suffering happening from the wars in Ukraine and Gaza. It is overwhelming to the point that we are paralyzed. And we feel guilty on some level. As we sleep in our warm beds, live in our safe and secure neighborhoods, as we drive our cars to grocery stores, which are endlessly restocked each day for our consumption. And that low-grade guilt prompts some questions. What should I do? I mean, how much should I give to the Red Cross and other charities on the front lines? What should I possess and own? Is it ethical to live in the house that I live in, drive the car I drive, spend what I spend on luxuries? Philip Yancey, Christian author, wrote this: "I feel pulled in opposite directions over the issue of money. Sometimes I want to sell all that I own and join a Christian commune and live out my days in intentional poverty." Now, I'm not going to say it, but I know the word that is in your mind. I'm going to count to three, and let's say it out loud. One, two, three. That's what I'm talking about. You all do listen to me. That is so warm and cuddly. Thank you. Back to Philip. He continues. He says, "At other times, I want to rid myself of guilt and just enjoy the fruits of our nation's prosperity. Mostly, I wish that I just didn't have to think about money at all." Can I have an amen? Oh, yeah. But as Christians, we can't escape this tension between the material world and its pull and its lure, you know, its lure to us. And also on the other side, this self-denial and asceticism, which we see often in the scriptures, in the gospels. As Christians, we desire to be faithful, which we have interpreted on some level is this rejection of the world. But, and this is a big but, I think Madonna, the pop star, had it right. Hit it, Dan. They can beg and they can plead, but they can't see the light. 'Cause the boy with the cold hard cash is always Mr. Right. 'Cause we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. Oh yeah, we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. Let me assure you, that is probably the first time you had a pastor sing a Madonna song to you. Anybody? There we go. But here's the deal. We do live in a material world. To deny that would be ridiculous. And let us not fool ourselves, you know, with a caricature that materialism is just rampant consumerism. Because materialism is actually more than that. It is actually a philosophy which proposes that physical matter is the only fundamental reality. That all being processes and phenomena can be explained exclusively as manifestations and results of matter, the physical. A true materialist denies any reality other than that which can be touched, measured, and quantified. Nothing else exists. Therefore, the spiritual realm, God, eternal life, the second coming that Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians, those are off the table. Fantasies. Well, by definition, by the fact that we're here worshiping God, we are not philosophical materialists. Thank goodness. But I would propose that we are certainly practical materialists. Now, why can I say that? Because we're material beings, right? We need clothes. We need a safe place to live. We need food and clean drinking water, meaningful and dignified work. These are the basics of human life. Being material beings means we are dependent upon material things. And let me assure you, that is not a mistake, Kyle. It's not. The truth is, that's the way God made it, right? When he spoke the material world into existence out of his word, he declared it was what? Exactly. He didn't say this is terrible. He said it was good. And when he created humanity, the crown of creation, with our physical, relational, and material needs, he said we were what? Very good. Madonna hit the nail on the head, because we are living in a material world by design, by intent. So why all this guilt? You know, why can't we just, you know, enjoy materialism, get down and roll in it like a hound dog on roadkill? Why can't we? Because we're also spiritual. Genesis 1, the story of creation, says that we were created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Meaning we're rational, we're creative, we're compassionate, we're relational. It also says in Genesis 1 that we're given dominion over creation, stewardship over God's creation. We're giving meaningful and dignified work to care for the creation and therefore care for each other. So what went wrong? Well, we all know what went wrong. The fall. This fall from grace. We rebelled. And in that story of rebellion, you know, the tempter has this conversation with Eve in Genesis 3. And he says this. It's very revealing. It says, for God knows that when you eat it, meaning the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Kaboom! There it is. Matt, there it is. You will be like God. There is the root of all human sin, right? We want to be God. We don't want to be the creatures. We want to be the creator. We don't want to be stewards of the material world. We want to be owners. We want to be owners of the material world. So that we can do what we want when we want it without anybody telling us any different. I mean, isn't that the promise of wealth and power? To do whatever you want, whenever you want. Sort of be like God. So this material world, which was created good, fell with us. When we fell from grace, all of creation did as well. We have dominion over it, and we immediately get to work mucking things up. How? By playing God. Using, controlling, manipulating material stuff and people so that we create this illusion of power. This illusion that we're God. But also sensing there is more to this world, to us, than just manipulating and controlling stuff. Why is there that little part of us that says, wait a second, it's because we're both material and spiritual beings. That's where we're created. And all through history, humanity somehow has identified this material and spiritual natures of humanity. The Greeks saw the material and the spiritual as separate, actually at odds with each other. The material world was evil, either to be rejected completely or to be exploited because it just didn't matter. While the spiritual world and the soul were good, it should be pursued at the expense of the material. So the Greeks gave us this dualism, which has echoed through history and in many ways still influences Christianity. We believe we have to live in this false tension between materialism and asceticism, self-denial. Martin Luther compared humanity to a drunkard who falls off his horse on the right side, only to get up again and fall off to the left. And in the matter of money and possessions, asceticism is like falling off on the right side, and materialism is falling off on the left side. And Satan cares very little which side of the horse you fall off. He only cares that you don't stay in the saddle. Materialism and asceticism are two equal and opposite traps of the enemy. Both taken to their extremes will lead us away from God. We must reject this false duality which we've inherited from the Greeks, and embrace the biblical truth that we are both material and spiritual beings, fully integrated by God's design, embracing both aspects of our humanity. We are neither materialists who use material things in the wrong way, nor should we be ascetics who reject material things for the wrong reasons. Our work in and through Christ, who was and is the perfect example of humanity, fully God and fully man, both material and spiritual, our work is to learn together to become like Him and to live like Him, in perfect peace and harmony with the material and the spiritual. Listen, we are not called to live as the world lives, myopically pursuing money, thinking that it will bring us security, comfort, and save us. All the while sort of proclaiming Jesus as our Lord and Savior. All that would do is make us materialists with a Christian veneer. And we might be fooling ourselves, but we would not be fooling the world. They would see right through it. Nor are we called to reject the material, living a false, pietistic, ascetic life, looking down our self-righteous noses at the world with our hair shirts on, scratching. We might be very proud of ourselves, but the very people we are trying to draw towards Jesus would be repelled. What does it look like to live in harmony with both the material and spiritual natures of our humanity, knowing both were created by God and declared very good? It means us living fully in the saddle, as Martin Luther suggested. living in service to God and His world, using the resources at our disposal, procured by our hard work, ingenuity, and creativity as stewards of God's creation for two purposes. One, the propagation of the gospel and the salvation of souls, and two, for the relief of human suffering. Listen, God, the eternal, the unknowable, the mysterious living God, became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ, became human, material. To do what? To save humanity. God risked it all to save us. Because of his deep and unrelenting love. And that work was accomplished on the cross. And that work continues to this day. We are called to use the resources at our disposal to seek first the kingdom of God in the world. By one, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, which is chiefly done through the witness of the church and God's people in the world. And second, to use the resources at our disposal to the relief of human suffering and to help provide for the basic needs of humanity. What I'm suggesting as Christians is that we live in a different way. And we see and use our money, the fruit of our labors, in different ways. Seeing our money and resources certainly for our needs and our enjoyment. God created enjoyment. But within reason. I remember an old axiom used to describe a Christian. Live simply so others can simply live. Also, using those resources for God's desire that everyone would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved, and that God's mercy and justice would reign in the world and bring relief to human suffering. I'm talking about a lifestyle which we cultivate and are trained in through our life together in this place as the church. For 2,000 years, the church has been that place and those people dedicated to the worship and proclamation of Jesus Christ. A training center for discipleship. It is an outpost of God's kingdom in the world, a place of sanctuary and solace for those who are downtrodden. We are a people dedicated to the well-being of humanity by pursuing God's justice and mercy in the world. And here's the deal. You have been called to this church, this ministry, for this time in your life. And this is a manifestation of our spiritual and material natures as the body of Christ in the world. Let us use the resources at our disposal to equip the church to glorify God, to spread the gospel, and usher in His justice and mercy to the world. Amen. So, as you know, during this preaching series, I've been hijacking the area of the creed, Pat, and the prayers of the people, and also the confession. So what we do is we stop and we're going to reflect on a reflection question for about 3 minutes. It'll go on the screen, and that's for the introverts, okay? So you be quiet and think and reflect. And then we're going to break up into groups of twos and threes and have a conversation about what you reflected on. And that's specifically for Carl, who doesn't have any introvert in him at all. So here's the question. Let's take about two or three minutes, and I want you to reflect and pray about this question and think about your life. If materialism, loving too much the things of the world, and asceticism, loving too little the things of this world, both represent equal and opposite extremes, which one is most tempting to you and why? All right, so I want to invite you to grab two or three people and have a conversation around that particular reflection question. I would encourage you to get up, move around, don't have the conversation with the person you live with, sleep with, or related by blood. Get up and move around. There you go. Thank you. close with a prayer. The Lord be with you. Let me try it again. The Lord be with you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have made this creation good, and you have made the crown of creation, humanity, very good. And Lord, we have strayed. Draw us into closer relationship with you, that we may live in harmony with each other, with you, and ourselves, being both material and spiritual. We thank you for the things that we need, that you provide. We thank you for the things that we enjoy in this life and in this world. Help us to be generous and live with open hands, as you were generous with us, living with open hands that were nailed to the cross for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.